Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, January the 8th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, How It Works. We're on page 69. We'll be reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, God alone can judge, and ends on page 70 with, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. And comments will be on that one paragraph. Today's readers, and thank you for your service this morning, the 12 Steps, Marianne H., the 12 Traditions, Christina L., readers of the text, Vanessa G., page 164, Nancy P., and thank you for being our backup, Penny C. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Karen W. The second hour host is Colleen M., and announcements will be given by Nancy C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, January 7th, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,057. That's 22057. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,058. That's 22058. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marianne H. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Marianne H., compulsive recovered overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass, and thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Marianne H. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Christina L., compulsive overeater in Florida, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 69. We'll be reading and commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, God alone can judge, and ends, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. So how many times when I got into a new relationship did I have hysterical thinking or seek advice from every friend that I could possibly get to listen ad nauseum about my new found love? It's abundantly clear in this paragraph that my sex situation rests firmly in God's hands if I have truly taken, a third step. And I think back to, the three components of that third step when I took them, I decided God would be my director and God would be my source of guidance and inspiration, that God would be my principal, and I would have power and strength given to me as a result, and God would be my loving parent, providing me with care and protection. All of three of those things are so important whenever I enter into a relationship. You know, and in this portion, this third portion of the inventory, there's more specific and more calls to prayer than in the other two. And it's a lot more about a collaboration, a actual meditative, prayerful consultation with God to figure out how I'm going to grow, how I'm going to become what God would have me be in my sex situation. And God is the only source of all of three of those things, which are so badly needed, so essential to being comfortable enough in a romantic sexual relationship be able to accept that love and be able to give that love. In the next paragraphs, in the first couple of paragraphs before this paragraph, we were given some specific prayers, and the next couple of paragraphs will be the same. This is a very prayerful part of my life. It has to be. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Vanessa G., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any of the vision meetings, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Janice P.M.
Janice?
Mm-hmm. Lee H.
Lee?
Leah S.
Leah?
Lisa B.T.
Lisa B.T. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to start with Janice P.M., Lee H., Leah S., and Lisa B.T. Janice P.M., you're up, followed by Lee H. Good morning.
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Oh, my goodness. This is the paragraph for the whole book. This is the purpose, and you know where I'm. You know, thank you, God, I'm recovered. That I know this today. I know KNOW through my experiences that God is the final judge. You know, like most of us. You know, heaviness. You know, all these problems. You know, I cling to hope by, you know, asking human beings, what do I do with this situation? Whether it's resentments, whether it's fear, whether it's selling the house. What, you know, everybody has counsel. I mean, and they mean well. And I was the type of addict, a compulsive overeater, that I would keep asking other people until I got my answer that I thought would be good for me. And you see, I have a finite mind, but I have come to know God, who has an infinite mind. He has done for me things that I would never be able to think was the result, including, you know, other people. They all mean well, but you know, even myself, I'll become hysterical. What am I going to do about this? I keep asking this one and ask, which is good, but you know, the final judge. When you go to court, the final judge, it's up to that judge. And my judge today, because I've made that decision, and believe you me, in the beginning, I didn't use this judge. I felt, I didn't trust a God. I didn't rely on a God. I didn't depend on a God, because I probably was playing God myself, or I put people on a pedestal. I put them on a pedestal. They didn't put themselves on a pedestal. I did. So I have to be careful of that. Even in our program, I cannot put any human being on a pedestal because they don't have all the power. We're powerless. And, you know, when you find out, you know, it's so simple, like it was said at one time, but, you know, I forget. Oh, okay, this one said this about selling your house. This is what you should do. But the God of my understanding is the final judge. And you'll be so surprised that the more we depend on this higher power, the results will be unbelievable that you would never come to mind. I would never believe that certain results in my life happened because nobody told me it would be that way. But when I keep the purpose of learning in this book to get a relationship with a higher power, it's just unbelievable because I'm always looking for results. Thank you very much. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. And Lee H., you're up, followed by Leah S.
Well, thanks so much, Lisa. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Leah H. I'm a compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and so glad to be here and glad to be here with all of my special fellows this morning. This paragraph really struck me too. We're reading these paragraphs seem to be focusing on the sex part of the inventory, and for me, what it's telling me is this is really the most intimate part of me, the part of me that God made me to be, that is very vulnerable. And I think for me, growing up in the South, I was taught that, you know, getting married and finding the right husband who could take care of me was one of my main purposes in life. And I tried to, you know, be a good little girl and do that. And, you know, I have, over the years, I realized going through the steps and being in 12-step programs that I am a very dependent person and very selfish. And I think when I married, I really looked for somebody that could take care of me, who could really almost be a parent to me. I mean, it was a very selfish motivation looking back. But over the years, my husband and I, we've gone through our struggles, and we have, you know, gone to counsel about it. And I remember one thing, the most important thing I was told was, at this point in my life, I need to learn how to be married to God, look to God, and don't depend on human beings for my most, you know, the needy things I need, you know. And one thing that was said yesterday is that the right answer will come if we want it. And as I thought about that, I thought about the statement on page 552 where it says, I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous, and everything I need I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that it was just what I wanted all the time. And that's what I have found, that God is helping me to accept the things that have happened in my life, and I'm right where I want to be now. I'm finally where God wants me to be. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And Leah F., you're up, followed by Lisa B.T.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York, and recovered and grateful. And wow, this is a very powerful paragraph, because it tells me, you know, embrace yourself, Leah. Embrace yourself in everything that you have in your life, especially the other part. How are your relationships with those people? And I finally accepted that nobody else has to really know the real truth except me and God. And what is my attitude around others that are that can attract, that can be intimate? And what is my attitude in all honesty and in all truth? Yes, do speak to other people, but speak to people that you trust, and then find out what is the right thing for you, what is the right challenge for you, and what is not something you don't want to do. And it's just like, it's sort of a reflection on myself, and to embrace myself and my challenges that I have in my life, and which way and which path do I really want to do, and it's all God given. Everything that you have, every feeling, every emotion, these are God given. So don't think badly about yourself, and don't judge yourself too harshly. And that's all I've got. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And Lisa B.T., you're up.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Lisa B.T. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Guelph, Ontario, near Toronto. Thank you so much for the service of this meeting, being present every day. The word that really, really sometimes when somebody reads the paragraph, there's a word that just stands out because it's got like spotlights on it. And for me this morning, that word was judge. And I have come to have a very different relationship with the word judge through doing this program. And when it says, you know, God shall be the judge, I don't hear that anymore. I used to hear it as somehow that I would be, you know, shamed or belittled. You know, I should have known better, all that kind of stuff. And somebody years ago said to me that they felt that this was a spiritual program because a lot of healing had to take place around a different concept. A concept in which the word judge, maybe like other words, like the word sword, other words which can mean two things, can be understood in that complexity. And I've come to this place where my relationship with my higher power is one in which I rely on that. Judgment, that voice, that kind of this, I have this sense of speaking to me with great honesty and also great compassion when I need to see things. So in these past days when we've been talking about sex conduct, what's really been coming through to me is very strongly is that how complex that is. It is not simply about, did you sleep around, did you cheat on your partner, all that kind of stuff. It's a much more intimate understanding of being in close relationship with another person in a way that is from a recovered position and not my active years in overeating. I was not present. I was cheating in all sorts of ways in terms of money I was spending. Time I was taking, I would leave my children with my husband in the morning to go to Costco, stuff like that, because he was home from work when they were very young. But I'd be gone a lot longer than I needed to because I went and made my pit stops and I went and took time that I said to myself, well, I deserve this. You know, it's time for me. And I would take it in that way, essentially steal it. And that very much had an impact on my husband. In fact, we talked about it years after we were divorced. and we talked about it. So I think I heard time, so I will finish with that, but just to say that I'm so grateful to be able to explore all this and see words in new ways. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa B.T. from Canada. And we are on page 69. We've read and we are commenting on the fourth paragraph that begins, God alone can judge, and ends, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Who else would like to share this morning?
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D.
Nancy P.
Nancy P. Anybody else?
Jerry S. from Florida.
Oh, I think I heard Pete B. and Pete then was who first. From Florida?
Sherry S.
Sherry S. Did I miss somebody? Okay, I have Chris G., Elizabeth D., Nancy P., Pete B., Sherry S. Did I miss somebody? Okay, Chris G., you're up, followed by Elizabeth D.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, and thank you for being here. My name is Chris G. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I do live in Tennessee. My heart goes out to the people in California where I was raised. So I have certain ideas or ideals that have, maybe they're not in capital letters, but the shares this morning put an exclamation point behind my ideas. It made them more... It just spoke to my ideas and made them more reachable. So one of the things that I did in my past was, instead of being equal with my partners, I would mother them. And you mother children, and when your children get grown up, you have to learn not to mother them, but to be friends with them. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. But it's really nice to be friends with adult children. And so it's nice to not mother your spouse, not take care of your significant other too much, not do everything for them, but to let them do things for you. And I was always one independent and didn't want anybody to do anything for me. And if I didn't do it, it wasn't done right. That's a little judgmental. So the word that stuck out in this paragraph for me was desirable. It's desirable to go to God. It's desirable to treat your partner as an equal. It's desirable to stay married to one man for 50 years. I never did that, but it's desirable, you know. So with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Chris G. from Tennessee. And Elizabeth D., you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in the Boston area. I wasn't going to speak this morning, but the shares and the topic have inspired me, mainly because of the word, let God be the judge. I let God be the judge. And I agree that there can be negative meanings to that word judge. And I get that. But I've been taught by members of the fellowship to really see it as, not as judging, but really see God as the arbiter of my thinking and of my behavior. In fact, one fellow said to me, let God be the ultimate arbiter of everything that I think and do. I really like that. So if a thought comes into my head, I park it with God and I say to God, I pray, God, judge, look at this thought. Is this a positive thought or a good thought? Should I act on this? That is the ideal. I don't do that often enough, but I try. And in my relationships, and that's what this, that's what these paragraphs have been about over the last several days, is in my relationships, I try to let God be the ultimate arbiter of what I think and what I do. And I fall short a lot of the time, but because I am in recovery and I'm working with others, I allow God to be with me in a way that's not judgmental of me, but recognize that I'm in a growth mindset and I'm trying to move forward. And I have found, the fact is, I'm in a relationship with a man today and I'm married, and, you know, at 66 years old, never thought I would be married because that's, you know, I've kept myself away from relationships for years because I hated my body, or I was in bad relationships because I thought I could save them or make them better or change them. All of that, as has been said, is selfish and self-seeking. And today I am in what I've learned what interdependence is about. Previously in my relationships, I was either dependent on the other person or I was in no relationships and I was independent of relationships. Today I have learned what interdependence is. And that, to me, is what these paragraphs are aiming to point me towards. And it's an ideal to aim for that I don't always hit, but every day I do my best. And in the midst of trying to do my best, I find joy. It just amazes me. Even when I fall short, I find joy because I know I can go back to my higher power, who I call God. I can be forgiven and understood and then be shown the way to do better. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts, and Nancy P., you're up, followed by Pete B.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P., recovering in West Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share this morning. I don't worry about falling short of ideals because I always do. Yeah, and, you know, they're my ideals. I do the best I can. I do a written 11-step inventory every single night to see where I need to work on things the next day, and I send it to my sponsees, and they send me theirs. So that's like housekeeping. So the rest of it is counsel with other persons. Now, that is, to me, is the most valuable thing that I can do because I am not so much prone to hysterical thinking, but irrational, you know, I can just like fly off the handle and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'll do this. I'll throw a lot of money at it, or I'll devote all my time to it. And I have other things to spend money on and other things to spend my time on. You know, they're talking about sex, but to me, it's like someone else said, it's a metaphor for all my other issues in my life. Excuse me. And, you know, it says in the book that we have found that nothing ensures the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. That is seeking counsel from others and giving counsel when asked. And, you know, I really feel as though, you know, that's the sort of the bud, you know, the not quite matured seeking counsel from others is the beginning of the 12th step where we work with other people. You know, what can I do before I'm recovered? I ask other people what their opinion is, how, you know, whose recovery I respect, or most especially, you know, my spouse. You know, that guy never gets bent out of shape, never loses his temper, never, you know, freaks out about anything. You know, he's clear thinking, much more so than I am on a regular basis. And that comforts me, right? This comfort, you know, we hope this will bring comfort to those who still struggle. I'm comforted by my powerlessness in that way. And, you know, and I try not to, when I'm asked, I try not to give, you know, I try to keep my own thinking out of it. You know, some people call me up and they say this, that, or the other, and I think to myself, oh my God, you know, better her than me. I mean, I kind of think, but it's not. I just know that I'm grateful that I don't have other people's problems. But if I did, I would do the same thing that the book tells me to do. you know, I would throw myself the harder into helping others. In fact, that is the reason for, that is what I do for everything. There is no other answer than that. I don't want to give away the plot. I guess it's a little past where the reading is, but, you know, I don't want to be fanatical about anything. I don't want to be, I don't want to depend on my own thinking. I say it to myself and I say it to my sponsees, look where my thinking got me. 211 pounds, angry, resentful, miserable, depressed. You know, when I seek counsel from others, when I depend on people, not depend, but when I just the very act of asking is an act of humility. Tell me what you think I should do. What is your opinion? Do you have any experience? Just the act of doing that is completely antithetical to what my whole life was, which was, I know, leave me alone, you know, and that drove people away and got me into a lot of, you know, trouble that I didn't want, but nevertheless, I asked for, you know, nobody deserves what they get, but they shouldn't be surprised when they do, if they don't do what the book says. And the book says, you know, embrace the fact that we're compulsive overeaters, that our lives are unmanageable, do all that other stuff, and then help other people. There's nothing before helping other people. And I was talking, I'll wrap up with this. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who has a very, very difficult, thorny problem in her life. And she said, well, how do you get rid of this anger? How do you get rid of it? And I said, the only way that I know that actually works is to stop talking about myself and go and ask somebody else what I can do to help them. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. And Pete B., you're up, followed by Sherry F.
Yeah, thanks, moderator, for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, it's good that we're talking about sex in an OA meeting, right? In AA, they used to say, like, sex, it's the topic that's most thought about and least talked about, right? Like you know, everyone, you know, got sex on our mind. We got relations on our mind, right? And this is telling us that God alone can judge our sex situation. That's the previous sex situation that we were in before doing this inventory, and our sex situations that we get into after doing this inventory when we're working on our chosen ideal. And, you know, what we have to remember, you know, in going forward and also about our previous relations is like the previous paragraphs, you know, we read them. You know, they use different words, right? They use words like hurt, right? We're making a list of people we have hurt. And hurt means something that I've caused either physical or emotional or mental pain to somebody, right? And then it talks about harm. And there's a difference between hurting someone and harming someone. And harming is intentional or unintentional material damage that I do to somebody, right? And that could be corrected with an amends, right? That could be fixed with an amends because we're compensating for our wrongdoing, right? But what we have to recognize is that in both our past and our relations going forward, is you can't repair a hurt with an amends. What we have to understand is that our behavior, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, we put wounds on people that may never heal, right? Like I can't figure, I apologize to my wife for having an affair, and, you know, the apology is good for, you know, I betrayed her, and she should sleep better at night knowing that I'm making a living amends by not doing it anymore. Right? Or amending my behavior going forward. That doesn't make up for the harm that I caused. That doesn't fix it. She's not sleeping easier because I'm living this life abstinent and helping others. I cause damage. I hurt. And these hurts can't be fixed by saying I'm sorry. Right? Amends is about repairing the damage. But what I also have to accept is that I do things to people, or we do things to people that we can't fix. And living this life the way we're supposed to live our life, according to how we think God would have us live, doesn't repair that damage we do. Right? Our damage has lasting, the things we do has lasting impacts on other people, and we have to embrace that. That's what they told me was the cover charge for recovery. I have to realize that the things I did can't be fixed by saying I'm sorry and changing the way I live. And that's just the way it goes, right? So God alone, not the God squad, not the sponsor, God alone can judge the situation. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. And Sherry S., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry S., and I'm in South Florida. And I haven't shared on this meeting in a very long time, but this chapter in particular, or this part of the inventory, I struggled with. And the reason I struggled with it, not because I was sexually promiscuous, is because I've been married to the same man for almost 56 years. And I didn't know what it meant. And my sponsor lovingly said, just think of it as intimacy. And intimacy is different, is the same in many ways, but when I got married, I wanted my husband to love me like my mom didn't love me. And I wanted him to give me everything I thought I needed, and I wanted especially tall order. And today, I know that God put us together. We talk about it all the time. There's a movie that we watched one time, and the principle was is that this person missed her train, or she got on the train, and what happened in her life. And my husband and I say that, you know, we talk about it all the time. We call it sliding doors for us. And so what do I think this is? Because when I change it to the word intimate, that's not just with my husband, that's with my friends. You know, how much of myself am I allowing them to see? I can hurt them just like I can hurt them like I hurt my husband. And what I've learned is I have a different concept of God now. I've taken the concept of faith. And at first that person was just sort of gender neutral, and now she is, I have her as a female. But faith is the one whose mind can help me today. She can tell me, you know, when I'm being mean, when I'm being selfish, when I'm being self-seeking, when I am being dishonest, and when I'm being resentful, and when I'm showing fear. And I realize that it's okay. There's no debate for me about that anymore. There is no debate. And there's no debate about, you know, sex. I have two grandchildren that just recently got married in the last couple of years. And I am very close to them. And one of the things I've said to them many times, you know, if you don't marry someone like your best friend, you're going to have struggles, because sex isn't always the part that keeps you. It's intimacy. And that gift is a gift of me and my husband. My husband fractured three ribs recently. Pretty scary when a man's 78 years old. But he's okay. And he's okay because I'm here to help him and provide and take care of him, because I know that in this situation, he'd take care of me. And that, with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sherry S. from Florida. We have time for probably three or four more shares. Who else would like to share this morning? We are on page 69, the fourth paragraph. God alone can judge, and ends, we avoid hysterical thinking or advice.
Hi, I'd just like to claim my sheet.
Okay, we're looking for 3-minute shares. Anybody? I don't know how many people are out there, but
Lisa Ann?
Lisa N.
Mary A.
Mary A. One more. Okay, we're going to go with Lisa N. followed by Mary A. Lisa N., please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service this morning, moderator, and everyone on the line. The shares have been
really beautiful and meaningful to me, so thank you. I don't even know what I'm going to say except that, yes, God alone can judge me and my walk with my fellows, who I've harmed, who I've had relations with, not necessarily intimate, because intimacy to me is something completely different than sex. And I feel like I've learned to be intimate with my husband. It may have started when in our youth in a sexual way, but I've learned from God how to be intimate with my husband. And it's taken a long time. I'm a slow learner, and I'm fixed in my ways and the way I thought about sex. And, you know, I feel like now as I've gotten older, I feel like he deserves so much more from me, not just some way to feel better physically or have relief, but to actually have a feeling of contentment and security. You know, I didn't offer that to him. I was too involved in myself and my thinking, and now I want more for him, which to me says God is involved. And I believe God is involved anyway, wherever I am in that spectrum. But I believe that because I ask to be more intimate with my husband, I ask to be a better person in general. I am given that opportunity. And so I don't have a whole lot more to say. I guess I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa N. And Mary A., please share with us.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Mary A. calling in from Portland, Maine, and really glad to be here. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and so grateful for the orientation of the way this is written for several reasons. One is that, you know, when we come later to the fifth step, I was able, and as I was working on my fourth step, I was able to be really honest with myself and with my sponsor about my sex inventory, because I knew we had read that no one but, you know, God would judge my situations. And so my sponsor had made it really clear to me that she would bear witness to my work of getting closer to God by cleaning out these things that block me, these manifestations of self that block me from God, but that she would not judge. She would bear witness, but she would not judge, nor would she give advice, which I really appreciated. And then when I turn around and sponsor other women, I'm able to offer them that same assurance that I will bear witness to your experience as an unfolding, right? You're unclogging the drain between you and your higher power. And I will offer no judgment and I will offer no advice. And what that does is it just creates this beautiful space of love and compassion and safety, you know, to the degree that one human can offer another human safety. Ultimately, that comes from God. But it just creates a very loving environment where I can feel like I can be truly genuine. And the whole point of this is for me to be honest with myself. Yes, I'm doing it with a witness, and yes, I'm sharing it with God. But really, it's for me to be honest with myself so that I can look at my own behavior and make a decision. Do I want to continue? Is my old behavior still serving me? It served me in some way in the past, or I wouldn't have done it. But is it still serving me today in the spiritual recovered life that I want to live? And I get to make that decision, and I get to do it in a way that there's a witness but no judge. And so I'm really grateful that it is laid out this way and that I get to continue that tradition with the others who want this same solution that has been so freely given us. With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary A. And we have time for two more shares. Anyone else like to share this morning?
Sarah G. from New Jersey.
Arla Z.
Arla, I think that's what you said. Okay, Sarah G. and Arla. You have to give me the first initial of your last name. Sarah G., you're up, followed by Arla.
Hi, good morning. Thank you again for your service. This has been a great meeting. I wanted to say that I really appreciate all the shares. Growing up without a father, I guess I was looking for, my father died when I was a baby. I was looking for protection, and I always tried to use men as that protection, someone to love me, looking for that big brother father image. And when I started dating my husband, I was a senior in high school. And when I was away at college, and he was in a different college far away, I just wanted that person near me. I wanted somebody to protect me and to have that big brother relationship. And like someone shared earlier, that my husband will never be able to sleep comfortably at night. I've been married for over 43 years and very, very faithful. But saying I'm sorry and being a faithful wife is not going to fix that hurt. Accepting my what I've done, and just trying to be a loving and just constantly being loving. It's the only thing that I can do, and not feeling judged by God or by anybody else. And being so grateful for this program, because in my acceptance of my problems and where I'm at fault, you know, I could, you know, trying to keep saying, but I've been such a good wife. I gave you all these children and I'm so faithful. That's not going to fix it. Seeing my part, how I caused hurt, and accepting that, and loving him and loving myself for who we are, has made our marriage so much stronger. And I'm so grateful for that and for this program and all of you. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarah G. And Arla, if you'll give us the first initial of your last name, you're up.
Z as in Libra.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Arla. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I so appreciate hearing that God will be the final arbiter, you know, that God alone knows. Because my path has been checkered with various, not so much unfaithfulness in my marriage, but many dysfunctional relationships, using sex for, you know, mistaking sex and intimacy, and not understanding. And I just, it's something that I haven't been able to let go of. And I'm so grateful to be on this line and working towards sanity and recovery from compulsive eating or all this stuff. So I really appreciate people's shares and all that you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Arla Z. And we still have one time for one more short chair, minute and a half. Anybody? Going once, going twice.
Good morning. This is Suze from New Jersey.
Suze, give us, one more minute. Please go ahead.
You bet. Short and sweet, like me. When I was in college, the first time I made love with my boyfriend, I said, I sat up and I said, thank God. And I meant it as a prayer because it was wonderful. But as time went on, And I grew up in a certain religion where you didn't run around and just have sex all over the place. I used that. It didn't matter what happened in our marriage. It didn't matter what problems we were having. I had to stay. And over the years, I've been the savior of people. I've considered myself all of these things. Broken up our relationship in the beginning of October of last year. And the whole idea of leaving this up to higher power, that morning, it wasn't that long ago, maybe within the week, that I heard, leave this to God. I said, oh my goodness. And it just really struck me. So that's really all I have to share, is that I found an answer. I don't know what kind of answer it'll be. I'm hoping and I'm trusting that it will be the right answer at the right time, because that's the other thing, is at the right time. I don't have to know everything today. It's just one day at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Suze from New Jersey. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, January 8th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,064. That's 22064. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
I certainly will. Our book is, thank you again, Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you can surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.